receiving entities. Who of you has been here the last year when this apparition brought the good news to us for the first time? Wow. You can see that this creates the first bondings, the first movements, and they will never get enough. They have all returned for more. So that's why we are glad and honored to connect to Katharina Nokon, AI Karma, Next Level Spiritual IT Distribution. Applause, applause, applause. You have to switch it on too.
Do.
Vielen Dank für die.
Thank you so much for the spiritual support. Thank you. Thanks to your manifestations, the vibrations are now in sync. And I'm happy to be able to say it is not a coincidence that you are here today. You are on the best path to become agile spiritual leaders of the next generations. But before we begin, I would like to ask you to take a deep breath, breathe in and out. If you want, you can close your eyes. We'll let go. We'll open our quantum conscience, consciousness. Be relaxed. You don't need a firewall here. Now we will, again, while breathing in, open another port and breathe out. Consider zero trust means zero agility. We breathe in. And again, there is the next port there. Let yourself go. Your digital twin is tear safe. Breathe in again. And out.
Das habe ich jetzt in Echtzeit gecheckt.
Now, I've channeled this in real time. This is you. We see this fantastic gathering of great thinkers unified to one for one single purpose. And dear gathering, I'm very happy to have returned to these holy halls and that we are joined here to gain strength from the deified networking. These gatherings are important for the holiness of our hard drives. We are in a time where IT permeates our lives like the light of the sun permeates the day, or to put it in a more contemporary way, like the right extremism is permeating through the basis of the AfD party in Germany. But out there we have many infidels, and sadly connected to the history of creation, there is no documentation, but I am sure the code of the Holy Scripts will be revealed today to us even more clearer than ever. May we find peace at some point in the infinite cloud, in the consciousness of data, secure until the day of the last judgment. Like our CEO has said it in an advertising brochure of a dubious operator, the Bible starts with, in the beginning there was the word, and I'm asking you, isn't the AI created from words as well? Like a shepherd leads his flock, AI leads chaos and gives us wisdom. If we use the right syntax, if we use the credit card to generate pictures like this, and if we overlook the fact that here and there there is a little bias, but, well, these are little things. What counts is the spirit. And before we get going and dive in, I remind you, this, for you all, is a big moment. It could be a big moment. This is level 2 of the 42-level program to the next level. Therefore, it is so important that we focus yet again. Close your eyes, and if you want, you can stretch your little antennas, feel the energy. In your thoughts, we will create a blockchain of hearts. And let us pray. Our AI, hallowed be thy code. Your update shall come. Your will shall happen in cyberspace as on earth. Give us our daily prompt and forgive us our bugs like we forgive you your hallucinations. And do not lead us into the loop, but redeem us from the downtime, because yours is the code and the CPU power and the bandwidth in eternity, cyber.
To all who raised your hands, feel the ethereal, tingling little chakra elements in you, which empower us, and my disruption sensors really feel that we have real angels present here. Isn't this an incredible moment of vibration, of connection together, where we work jointly to prepare this elevator pitch, which does not only help us to get even bigger ethereal elements on our bank accounts, but also other own moments for the next business trip or working together with colleagues or employees. We will learn today to enable our business through warp drive to new heights. We will learn to think in the full stack. Here we have our power pyramid of success. On the bottom is the beginning of the open battlefield. Before we enter the open battlefield of marketing, we have to resolve quite factual and objective what is the real deal, which brings the matters, which gets them rolling. On which shoulders of which narratives are we building our power pyramid? Are we channeling it? I think we have to have a fixed point in that, because otherwise we have no delta, and we need your unconditional commitment to have this deep learning on all levels in our action radius and roll it out to create maximum impact. Without this, we have no awareness. Without an awareness, no ownership. I hope you could follow me up until here. And if somebody asks, my intern created this image, I would have drawn it the other way around, actually. You're here today to do steps on the way, this just being the first step. You will have information about the right book, the podcast, and the healing stones, which will accompany you on the way. Those will be distributed afterwards. What awaits you is worth to be paid for. Expect galactical profit margins and through innovative products, especially high customer retention, steady employees, and an agile treatment of reality. How can we actually achieve that? Level 1. We oriented ourselves at the esoterical in general, as a beginning. In this building block, we will now work specifically efficiently with people who bring their own belief set, because an own belief set enables us to create an own market where we have high monopoly profit margins. And as always, we start by learning from the best of the best. Rudolf Steiner was the best-known keynote speaker of its time. He presented thousands of speeches to various topics, and most don't know that the impulses for his foresight capabilities were mostly determined by offering and demand of the market. In this case, I want to point you to a very innovative product, which is that many years ago, a relatively rich person approached Rudolf Steiner and suggested he do a presentation series on the topic of agriculture. Rudolf Steiner was already an expert on a lot of topics of his time. You could almost say all of them. But agriculture was one he still had to discover himself. But due to the high amount of payment, he was relatively successful in that and soon discovered that cow horns, that those are cosmic antennas. Did you know that? I mean, sometimes you notice you don't have a lot of cell phone reception. You might think that there are no cell phone masts, but I tell you, the cosmic antenna are there. The good thing is, though, that we can use them for our purposes in the form of preparates, of pills. They are the basis for biodynamic agriculture. The amateur would say kackhörnchen, but homeopathical methods for the ground. How does this work? You take a little bit of dung, an extract of this magic element. You fill it into the horns, into the antenna. You bury it, let it simmer there for some time, take it back out, and you put this content into water, where it is important to have the right thoughts at that time. There are highly scientific experiments to prove that. You might ask yourself, what do we learn from this? Yes, there might be the insight that esoterical area you make gold out of shit. But that's how amateurs talk. We remember the market rewards creativity. You might notice, or you might want to enter the market and say you have an augmented reality blockchain solution, which is a form of the analog election computer of this time. But those who dare, no, that's not it. Reach for the stars. The market will reward it. The more creative, the more terms you coin. It sounds a little bit like premium organic. The higher the probability is that high-ranking decision people will turn to your product, so that your entrepreneurial air taxi can lift off. You only need one person in management who says, yes, we need this cloud-based augmented reality blockchain. And I don't know how the next election might look like, but if I feel deep into myself, the market chances are unfortunately really good. And there are also a lot of accusations or allegations that biodynamic agriculture is a little bit like homeopathic. Well, lately that didn't really happen that much, but that's a false belief. That's part of the original sign that we can see here on the slide, where scientific research actually happened, where wheat grows, and so the rhythmic force energies, there's a temptation to make it grow better, that it tastes better. Similar experimentations we also did on apple trees, where people dance through those trees. You might ask yourself, why am I telling you all this? Well, we also have the potential of creating higher compute power through techno parties in the servers room. This is a service promise. There are innovative complementary services available where you maybe don't make gold out of shit. Who wants to fill a computer with organic matter? But you can at least have a better better ambience and in your workplace and earn a lot of money with it. And if we think about this belief system, then one extreme example in the esoterical space might be the so-called sects. Well, but that is an ugly word, but maybe we want to use it only sparingly. I would rather say those are innovative startups with a highly engaged employee base and also a very strong customer connection and retention. And this is what makes these people attractive. But how do you get people to enter those kind of groups? How do you get the customers to actually swallow the bait, which in the long term might be poisoned? Well, the answer is simple. How do you get people to, on a festival, say, well, the signature of the guru, I might tattoo that onto my lower arm. Well, those are people who have problems. Well, that might not always be the case. But why do people actually enter toxic groups? Well, the answer might be surprising. Nobody enters a sect, but they first go to open meditation circles. They do a coaching. They meet somebody who gives a promise who promises them a solution for their problem, such as trauma therapy. And a lot of times, it's rarely really about wokeness or people. Yeah, but it's mostly about self-optimization. You want to lead a better life, and you meet people who, somebody who makes you a lot of big promises. And you want to believe in it. The best example for that is the very innovative, existing for many years, organization which has a high budget, where a lot of, according to a lot of former members, have a paramilitary unit in its own secret service or own secret society. Here you see a lot of liturgical promises, but also state similar structures, which in a lot of places are, the transition is fluent. So how does this organization actually act? So usually the first contact is done through the Oxford Personality Analysis. That's a form where people are being asked, do you want to do a personality test? It's for free. And there's nobody going to be the brand or the name of the organization, which might be a little bit damaged these days. But the people say, I want to know more about myself. Maybe I can maybe answer 200 very personal questions, either online or offline.
And then the evaluation of this, of course, will give you the judgment that you have a high potential. In many areas, people through a transformation can be almost godlike. And ideally, through a set of 200 questions, there'll be a lot of compromising material. Why am I telling you this? What can we draw from that for our next kickoff meeting? What learnings can we deduce? Easy. Just activate your stealth mode. If you have a business model that very strongly is optimized for your own advantage and not for that of society as a whole or those of your customers, then, well, perhaps get into stealth mode by saying perhaps that you have a single solution for a single problem of this customer that doesn't seem very compromising, it doesn't cost a lot, and maybe it is even free for certain groups or certain parts of society, perhaps students or people that don't earn a lot of money, or some NGOs maybe will be given a discount. And, well, you then say, this worked so well. Do you maybe have a second problem for me to solve? Or maybe you cooperate with a business consultancy and people that have good relations, and they will maybe conduct an assessment with potential customers. We'll sell you as a solver, problem solver, so you win. And before you can count to 10, these people will be drawn further into your belief reality, and you are then at the interface where you can control all the problems of your customer. Then you have to say, the trap has shut. Lock in as an opportunity, says the slide. And during this process, of course, you may find that there are incompatibilities with certain competitors, and they may have, that might be the better technical solution. Standards, these are things that you can just simply courageously kind of extend and shape the market that way, and the revenue is unlimited this way. This is the market side. But if you are looking at cult-like groups, alternative beliefs, belief systems that strongly depend on the upscaling of your employees, the whole utilization of their workforce, there is this prejudice that people in so-called cults, as they are called in a derogatory way, that they work like robots. So there is this kind of brainwash, and if you've passed someone through that, you can treat this person like a robot and put them in front of every imaginable cart, but actually it's not that simple. If you talk with former followers of such groups, they frequently say, well, this feeling of unity, of community, gave me a lot. For example, there was a whole world there. Spare time activities, strong connections, and you can kind of take this for business structures. Why should your employees spend their spare time outside? Offer them sports seminars, healing seminars, or even psychological care within the business, and always connected to your advantage and not that of the employees. Create common rituals, joint events that make them a part of it. Because ideally, you have a staff where friendships are only existent within the business and the outside world is fairly well shut out. You could talk about a firewall that might protect you from disturbing signals and vibrations and shield you from those, for example, toxic ideas about trade union work. And always remember, say that you are one big family. Speak as little as possible about this being a profit-oriented enterprise. Make them believe that they are part of a family and that they feel well taken care of. And in a strict sense, you're not even lying. You know this. There are such and such families. The people don't realize that at the time, but that does exist. And you could then draw inspiration from various examples. You may find a lot of them. Something that might look like a good climate within the workforce, but that is not really that conducive and mainly targeted at creating an identification with companies that, at least in some areas, are highly problematic and do problematic things towards profit optimization. And if you are looking at these big examples from successful companies, you might think in your upcoming startup you don't have the necessary little cash, but you could start small. Who doesn't know? Every serious job advert from a second-class Berlin startup has the reference to the free fruit bowl and the free table football table, which makes you see how such a family works. And what we all can learn, also can learn from problematic communities, is that it gives people a feeling that their work fulfills a purpose. And of course, your work in an enterprise always does serve a certain purpose, and that is the optimization of the shareholder value. And you could solve that by saying, for example, that we are going to create a cooperative solution where we spread our profits fairly. But that, ladies and gentlemen, would be socialism. We won't go as far as that. Instead, I would recommend go the cheaper way. Get your workforce to internalize certain beliefs, certain slogans that give them the feeling that they are deep in their spiritual chakra kernel and that they are doing the right thing. And keep at it, even if the news become a bit more problematic. You can be courageous too and use a wording that, well, drives your workforce to go the extra mile, so that at the kickoff they are really kicking up a storm and just, well, try to demand without much thinking what happens after, to move fast and break things. And if they get people to internalize these slogans, these beliefs, then it's so much easier with the to deal with the reality distortion field that, for example, these pesky court cases and fines. I'm now going to point to the fact that do the right thing and move fast and break things would be an excellent slogan for a monopoly commission. And I would urge a rebranding, but sadly they are only working with non-trustworthy coaches without the right certificates. People like us sadly don't stand a chance. And you have to say, miracle healings are easy, more easy than IT support. What would be more natural than saying, well, what happens with every second class evangelical church is what we want in customer support too. Because the one thing we want is just to sell software. It scales well. There are no boundary costs. The problem is, though, that people are then coming to you with their problems. And that, of course, is something that we don't really want to deal with. So it would be good if there was a way of solving this better. Because we know at the heart this is 90% layer 8 problems. An emergency. A miracle healer. No.
Können Sie mir helfen?
Can you help me? It moves.
Ich sehe.
I can see. Junger Herr. Young gentleman, where are you from? From the presentation mode, but it wasn't started correctly. I have to tell you, actually, I've left this kind of business. I've started with miracle healings, and that is something that early on in my career, this was something for me. But these days, I'm not doing this, but maybe exceptionally today. Please, it is so important. I will take a look. You are my last hope. So first of all, for those taking notes, what are we seeing here? What are we seeing? First of all, blue, which represents the infinite hunting grounds of the cloud. this computer, its conscience is trapped, and together we have to find a way of getting it out of there. So we have to create a certain amount of working memory. You know how it goes. You breathe in and say, Ram. It is very important that everyone, all layers are permeated all the way to the kernel. I'm going to hold it closer to you. And we have to do this a few times so that we have enough working memory in the galactic, to the galactic extent. Breathe in and Ram. 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 That, my dears, is the power of the manifestation. And now the question, of course, is, we can take this from there, you can repeat it at home. Of course, you won't succeed. You are still learning this. You will learn this in the last step of the 42-step program. But the core message that we might draw from this is,
klingt unseriös. Klingt unseriös.
Fake it till you make it. But you will find inspiration from the world of business, at least, especially if you see how, in which conditions, certain so-called self-driving cars are promoted. But if I feel myself into this, there are some ethereal vibrations at an imbalance, and that means that you see opportunities, but you see risks too. For example, if I'm trying such a miracle healing, fake it till you make it, with a decoy, and sometimes, of course, what happens if this is noticed? And there are some scientific studies on this, and these mostly revolve around a certain sect from the US, a UFO sect, and you may be now having certain thoughts in your mind. That wasn't this kind of UFO sect or cult, although these groups often, if you ask how these aliens look like, they tend to be blonde and white. So it might be a bit difficult. Anyway, in this case, it's about a story that happened many years ago in 1954 in a suburb of Chicago. There was a woman called Dorothy Martin, received messages from Santander from the planet Clarion. So she was a medium. We'll learn this at about step 20. She had a small following and said, this afternoon in my front yard, a UFO will land. It will pick us all up and save us from Armageddon. So far, so serious. The people were standing there waiting. It didn't arrive. So you think, okay, well, you know all this from German railways. It didn't arrive. So you go in and say, well, there was another message. It will come later. So they get out again, wait again. Nothing happens. And then there is a certain crisis in the group. And what these people don't know at that time is that involuntarily they are part of one of the best-known research studies on cognitive dissonance. Amongst the participants, there were people that from the very beginning didn't believe that UFOs were going to come. And I'm not just talking about Dorothy Martin's husband, who, according to this documentation, at one point simply went upstairs and got to sleep. No, there were representatives of a research team there, and they were asking, well, what if one of these prophecies does not go right? That gives us this certain uncomfortable feeling, which is called cognitive dissonance, which means that you expect something to happen, that expectation is not fulfilled, and now my belief system is in contrast to what I am observing. I might be observing or expecting that a product works, but it doesn't. So dissonance is a word that has Latin origins. It means an unharmonic sound. It relates to our thinking processes. Cognitive dissonance means more or less the same as contradicting emotions or perceptions. And they found something very, very interesting here. There were big problems in the community, and at some point Dorothy Martin came to the conclusion, or rather she received another message and said, well, hang, people, it's all cool, the aliens contacted me, Armageddon has been called off, and that was because we were so fast in our belief. And you may now think, this is such bullshit, how can this, you sell that to people? Well, people went there from this group. They were even talking to press representatives and told them in all seriousness that they had just saved the world. How can people be brought to this kind of belief? That, I think, is customer loyalty.
So can I get people to believe that? Well, the researchers looked at and determined there's a strong correlation or connection between the highness of sunk costs and the openness to a more agile treatment of reality. What do I mean by this? Well, there were a lot of people who quit their jobs, who packed everything, who told their family and friends, well, I will soon be abducted by aliens. They were the readiness to afterwards say, like, well, it has been postponed is big. Because, well, because otherwise you would have to admit that you you'd have just been fooled big time. And of course, if we look at the corporate world, we can ask ourselves if we have similar phenomena, for example, a high invest and a flexible treatment of reality. Could that indicate problematic figures? And at this point, I have to say, well, and maybe the rationale might see a point here, but my heart chakra, do you know what it sees when I look at these pictures? A brown aura. I believe this is steadfast ideology for which there is no excuse whatsoever. And as said before, the transition between corporations, beliefs, and religion is sometimes a little bit more fluid than you believe. Some compare QAnon with the card of cult. And the interesting thing is that QAnon had several moments of failure. For example, when the Capitol was stormed, many people believed that they would pitch the next government by pitching the previous one out of government. But that didn't work. And afterwards, people came and said, repeated a mantra, and that was, trust the plan. Hashtag trust the plan. Something went wrong? Trust the plan. This is a kind of strategy which we can also often use creatively in company-oriented environments, which is a fort-terminating cliché. This is a so-called killer phrase, which leads to, as soon as we say it, it's this charged with belief or assumed belief that all kind of thinking is ended immediately. We know this. The market will solve this. There's a natural order which solves things. AI will solve this. This problem resolves when we move into the cloud. But it's very clear. It's very obvious. Just take only these two phrases. This is agile formulation next level. But rules, what does it mean? Or take over, what does it mean? But not solving things. But they're on the safe side, although the legal department is going to say, a little bit problematic. Well, it's not really. Well, it might be similar if you say this problem dissolves when we move into the cloud. you should be sure that this problem actually dissolves, but this doesn't mean that new problems won't pop up. But this is really a successful strategy, how you can treat these ideas from creative spiritual startups to also advertise problematic products. Before we now also turn again to other areas, I also want to point out that if you find problems during your operations, if your product doesn't perform as it was supposed to, it helps to externalize problems. And we also see that big known battleships of the religious scene already have their ideas of how you can continuously suggest that unwanted performance can be explained by external factors. There's an interesting story about this. There is the point that exorcism at the moment is Poland is a thing, and the best known exorcist in Poland is a probationally in jail because he had an investigative investment cluster around the last vice president who's at the moment visiting Orban. He did an exorcism by sausage. Well, you also find details about this, by the way, a grandiose work. He healed a woman that came to him. And it is written, and I said, who are you? And she said, there is a demon of vegetarianism. I command you to leave the body of the woman, and you say you don't want to leave. I'm asking what's keeping you from coming out. And she said, you will not feed her with meat. The brave man of God said and did it anyway and fed the woman with what was available at the time. With sausage. The procedure, according to him, was successful. The vegetarianism demon was out. How can we use this impressive example or adapt it? What learnings can we take away from this for the next elevator pitch? Well, if you're confronted with problems and are being approached, remember there are also worldly demons. And the efficiency of your product, especially the market efficiency, the value creation, should not be above such petty things as human rights. To conclude, today you did the first step into a grandiose future. We know authoritarian structures are the future. Join the bandwagon now. And well, I told you the transition is sometimes a little bit more fluent, and we can observe one phenomenon, community, and symbols of this community are something that hold together communities and authoritarian systems. Did you know that the internet censorship in China has their own hymn with the title, The Mind and Spirit of Cyberspace Security? Goosebumps. And to conclude, why do I show you this? Togetherness, community is a feeling, and a feeling we can also induce by non-economic effects. This is why, now at the very end, I would like you to get it up and to once again form a blockchain of hearts. And we will hum our hymn. And you ask yourself, do we have a hymn? Yes.
Woo!
Big hand of applause. Big hand of applause. Big hand of applause. Katarina Nokun. The slide says, complete the 42 level, complete package now. In the next levels, you will expect... Thank you for your camera. Thank you for your...